Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Well, today we are at our third value now. You know that we have been talking about the values of Grace City Church. We believe in a few things. We believe in being generous, and we believe in being relational. We also believe in the next word, which forms the word grace, G-R, and the next letter is... That's great. It's A, and A is the word active. So not only do we believe that we need to be generous, we believe that we can be relational, we also want to believe that we can be active. God is an active God. He made the world in 7 days. That's pretty cool. That's very active. If you can make the whole world in 7 days, that's a very active God. So God wants us to be active. In fact, the nature of man is an active nature. We've got an active nature. Just some weeks ago, my friends came over and they gave me a Fitbit. I didn't know how active I am till I wear this Fitbit. And it seems that it monitors my heart rate. It tells me my sleep pattern. It also tells me how many steps I've taken each day. Tells me how active I am. I must confess to you that I was very inactive. I don't walk a lot. I don't run a lot. For many years, I just do it randomly. But this year, I've started to be active. So I'm so glad I'm given this time to speak on activity, on being active. And yesterday I walked 17,000 steps. Well, so I'm saying that man's nature is active, and we are made not only to think, not only to feel. It's so good to think, so good to feel. I don't know about you, but I love to think and I love to feel. But it's so good to do, because the Bible tells us in all labor, there is profit. So if you are working, there is profit. If you are active, there is a reward. God wants us to be actively involved with Him in His work. And I don't know what God has put into your hands to be active today or tomorrow. But I hope that God opens up aspects of your life to be active, maybe in your personal life, maybe in your family life, maybe in your ministry, maybe in your work life, maybe in your relationship with others. Whatever it is, God wants you to be active. And in today's text in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, we see that King David had the hope of building a temple so that he can keep the Ark of the Covenant in the temple. The Ark of the Covenant is the very presence of God. And King David wanted this temple to be constructed so that the people of Israel can come and worship in the temple. But this temple is going to be a huge project. Some of us, God is going to give us big projects, you know, but God gives us big projects because he's a big God. He's a big God. He wants to give us big projects. So King David was given this very big project of constructing this glorious temple in the ancient city of Jerusalem. And just a little bit of an idea of how glorious this temple is. In the past, this is really, really glorious. This temple is about 20 stories high. And all the cost that is involved in the temple in terms of the juniper wood, in terms of the cedar wood, the gold and everything. In fact, the gold, the porch was overlaid with gold. Can you imagine, like, if this is the temple of God, when they enter from those big doors, when we usually enter through, the whole porch, the whole reception area is overlaid with gold. That's how King David see. He wants to build a temple that befits the glorious king. And it was a huge project. And it takes 20 years, 20-story building, 20 years to build this particular temple. Call it a huge project. It's a very, very huge project. And with huge project, we just need to get active. So King David got really active because he had 20 years or 20 stories of building to go. And also the whole cost of building this temple is equivalent to the cost of 20 towns. That means running 20 towns Yeah, all the expenses involved is exactly the same expense that would have been used to construct this temple. Huge project. It would have taken, I was told in the research that I do, 30,000 men to be actively involved in this masterpiece. Wow. Paul Scanlon, a pastor from UK, I love his messages. Recently, he came to Perth and he posed a challenge, which I thought was a really great challenge. He says, you know, what has God birthed in you? What cathedral-sized ideas have God birthed in you? I know we don't build cathedrals these days, but the idea is that what are the big ideas that God has put into your heart, that God has planted into your heart? Just last Friday, we have Phil Pringle. Phil Pringle is the founding pastor of C3. And he was sharing with us that, you know, he didn't think he would be able to do this, but God is a big God and God thinks he's capable of doing it. And he's planting two churches worldwide a day. Two churches worldwide a day. The other day, he was planting 50 churches in Pakistan. Call it a big idea. Call it a God idea. Call it a cathedral size idea. And Phil Pringle says this. Phil Pringle says, with the rate things are going, you can't do things on your own. You need other people to help you come along so that you can own this project that God has put into your heart, which may be a big project, so that you can do it with the help of other people, so that the name of the Lord Jesus is being glorified. And as I read 1 Chronicles chapter 22, I discovered, oh, you see, you must discover things in the Bible. Don't just read the Bible. You must discover things. After 36 years of being in the Lord, I'm still discovering things. That's really great. I discover there is a care plan. I discover that when God gives you something big to do, there is a plan God will give you to accomplish those great things. Because he's not a great God that just gives you a great idea. He's a great God that gives you a great idea to give you the great strength to accomplish it. And I discover in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, the care plan where King David used to accomplish what he had to do. The glorious temple in ancient Jerusalem. All right, let's go on to 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5. And the first thing in this care plan is the first letter of the word care, which is C, and the word there is compliment. So cute, the birds. I took this picture because it's so cute. They compliment each other. One small, one big, but they compliment each other. 1 Chronicles 22:5 says, David said, my son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations. Therefore, I will make preparations for it. So David made extensive preparations before his death. You see, the father David, or King David, is making a comparison with his son, Solomon. The comparison is that King David is old and experienced, but Solomon is young and inexperienced. Now, David had a huge project. He had a huge goal. The goal is that he wants this house of God to attract the attention of the nations. But he can't build it because God told him he's a man of war, so he can't build it. So he has got a huge goal. He's got an inexperienced and young son. And so there is a problem, isn't it? Solomon won't have the resources to build that particular house. So sometimes when people compare, you know, what can happen when people compare? I think in this case, if King David were to compare the fact that he has got a big goal but nobody is going to do it, he can be disappointed. See, when you compare, sometimes you can be disappointed. Like you've got something, a goal in your head, but no one is doing it, you can get despairing as well. But not for David. King David could have been disappointed. He could have been frustrated. But here we see that King David compared so that he can help compliment his son. He knew his son was inexperienced, and he knew exactly how to build the temple. He might not be able to build it, but he can compliment his son by being the one to prepare for the construction. You see, when we are doing some work, no one is greater. Not one on the worship team is greater than you who is worshiping. Not the one greater in the FMB, not greater than the one who is at the door. I'm not doing anything greater than you when you are also worshiping God by listening. No one part is greater. We are all great in the service of God, just that we are called to do different things. And we complement each other so that we can do something great for the Lord. And we can compliment people by adding to the strength. Some of us have got strengths. How many of you have got strengths? I see some honest people. Those hands that are down, I'd like you to, by faith, say that you have strength. Come on. When actually you have strength, you don't need faith. You are modest. You are very humble and polite. Yeah. All of us have strength. See, you can compliment someone by adding to their strength. Yeah, you have a strength. And when you have got someone who has another strength or the same strength, you can compliment them so that your strength becomes greater, bigger. Yeah. But sometimes you compliment someone with your strength and that someone has got a weakness. So some people have got weakness, you have the strength, you saw the need, you saw that this person can actually do the job, but at that moment, he was weak or she was weak. But you have that ability, you have that strength, you have that resources. Like King David, he had the resources. And so what he did then was to compliment his son by giving the resources to him. So we can compliment each other. Whatever God has put into your heart, maybe you need someone to help you. Maybe you need someone to compliment you. And don't say, oh, it's my weakness. Yeah, maybe it's your weakness. Find someone with a strength that can compliment you. When you do that, then, like the next picture, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Together is power. So don't do things alone. Some things God put into your heart needs more than one person. Okay? Get somebody, pray for somebody to come along to compliment you, because together is power. There was this pastor by the name of Louis Giglio. If I were to tell you the signature series he did, you would probably recognize him. Louis Giglio is the pastor of in Atlanta, Georgia. And he was the one who came out with the series Indescribable. So if you go to Kurong, the whole series is really quite amazing. He talked about the stars in the universe, and he uses a lot of symphony music to accompany him when he speaks. He's a very, very good speaker. If you go to Kurong and get the series on Indescribable, he would describe to you how glorious, how magnificent God's creation is. That's Louis Giglio. So he has got a great strength. His strength is speaking. His strength is assembling music to accompany his speaking so that he can release the CDs or whatever the audio resources to the world. It was worldwide. So if you go to Kurong, it's all distributed worldwide. So he's got a strength. He could easily say, all right, I have a strength. I am already doing the speaking. I'm already doing so much. Maybe is enough. Well, the truth is, you know, God has a plan, you know. Sometimes God's plan exceeds us. Like, I want to, okay, you don't believe this, but half of me is an introvert. Okay, I am. Half of me loves to sit at home and potter around and do nothing. Trust me. Okay. But I've been kept really active since I became a Christian. I didn't know I got so much energy. So whatever you saw, that energy really comes from the trust of God, that God thinks that I can be endowed with strength so that I can do whatever he called me to do. A lot of us would just say, all right, God, I'm already doing this. It's enough. But you know, sometimes God has got more plans for you. Sometimes we can't see it ourselves. We've got blind spot. And so Louis Giglio would have been really happy because his CDs and his audio resources are selling a lot, you know, internationally. He could have been happy. But one day, he found himself going to a church that he was supposed to speak to. And he came across this guy called Chris Tomlin. And he wasn't sure whether Chris Tomlin is that guy that is going to be so able to accompany him because he didn't hear much about him. But you know Chris Tomlin, he has got all the wonderful, wonderful songs, composer and singer. And he began to realize that Chris Tomlin was doing something in the music scene. And instantly when they met, they clicked. And when they clicked, they begin to do camps together. They begin to explore each other's gifts, each other's strengths. And Chris Tomlin begin to compose music just to accompany Pastor Louis Giglio so that he can become even more effective. Very soon, the story was, who is this? Chris Tomlin got transferred over to Pastor Giglio's church to be the worship leader. And it was there that the anointing of God was so strong that they began to do ministry together. This is God's plan. Some of us are doing good on your own. That's good. But you may need the help of another person because your strength can become a greater strength. Iron sharpens iron. I think last week, Pastor said that. I wasn't here last week because I was at Nolamara. And Pastor says, iron sharpens iron. Yeah? When you put your strength together, you become incredible. You know, I was told last Friday that one Belgian horse. Belgian horses are very strong, but I didn't know they are that strong. One Belgian horse can carry 8,000 pounds of weight. Guess how many two Belgian horses can carry? You're wrong. It's not 16,000. Oh, whoever that says something, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that you're wrong because two Belgian horses can carry 24,000 pounds. And I tell you what, if these two Belgian horses are raised when they are 2 or 3 years old together, so these two Belgian little horses are raised together to carry loads together. When they are adult Belgian horses, they can carry not 24,000. You're wrong again. They don't carry 24,000 pounds. They carry 30,000 pounds of weight. Complementing each other is really powerful. I see the young adults, the teens from Osborne Park going together with Nolamara, combining resources. That's powerful. That's complementing each other. That's powerful. Do more of such things where we can really find a greater strength in the church. Well, recently I've gone into publishing blogs. Blogging is not my thing, but I've been so challenged to blog. I've been asked to blog, and finally I went to Singapore, and my brother and my sister and so says, blog, blog, blog. I came home and I said, all right, I'll blog. And then my first month, this month of April, I'm blogging on marriage. So if you go into 180 Degrees Counseling Center, you get to read the blog. See, I only know how to write blog. But someone else complimented me by making this blog a little bit more available. See, when I blog, people don't go into my website to look at my stuff. So how many people read? Two, you know? Three. Write for hours, three people read the blog. It's useless, right? I mean, it's okay, three souls, but it's better to have 300, right? Yes or no? Yes. But I don't know how to do it. So my husband, who has been very computer savvy for the last many years, and with his political campaign has gone into the community, he says, let me help you. I said, okay, please compliment me. And so he says, are you ready? I said, yes. He says, all right, I'll take this same article that is read by three people. I'm going to blast it. Okay, yes, I'm ready. Blast it to Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. And now 300 people have read it. You know what I'm saying? Compliment each other. My strength was writing. His strength was making things open up. So someone out there, someone in here may be the one that can compliment you to build the work that God has planted into your heart. I pray that we won't compare to be miserable. We won't compare to see how good we are or how poor the other person is, or how good the other person is and how poor we are, and then we feel miserable. But King David showed us that he compared to see how inexperienced and how young his son is, and how old and how experienced he is, and how he can make the work of God still go on, even though he is not the one to build that work. Church, the best fit gets the job done the best way. The best fit gets the job done the best way. Go and find your fit. Go and find your fit. Yeah? Number two. Are you ready for number two? Number two, if you want to build the glorious work of God, you need to do what is what the second letter stood. What the second letter represented. That's the word. And that is A for avail. Avail. 1 Corinthians chapter 22, verses 1 to 4, and then 14 says this. It says, then David said, the house of the Lord God is to be here, and also the altar of burnt offering for Israel. So David gave orders to assemble the foreigners residing in Israel, and from among them he appointed stone cutters to prepare dressed stone for building the house of God. He provided a large amount of iron to make nails for the doors of the gateways and for the fittings, and more bronze than could be weighed. He also provided more cedar logs than could be counted, for the Sidonians and Tyrians had brought large numbers of them to David. I have taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, quantities of bronze and iron too great to be weighed, and wood and stone, and you may add to them. You have many workers, stone cutters, masons, and carpenters, as well as those skilled in every kind of work, in gold and silver, bronze and iron, craftsmen beyond number. Now begin the work, and the Lord be with you. What King David do was he availed his resources. He provided resources. He provided materials like iron, like bronze, like cedar. Our wealth and our resources that God has put into our hands are to be used, of course, to feed yourself, to feed your family. That's the priority. But it's also given to us for a greater purpose. And whatever the need that God has put into our heart, or responding to the needs of the people around us, God wants to use those resources that have been given to us to do greater work for Him. And I pray that God will help us, propel us, motivate us to avail our resources to Him. Because when you are able to give of those resources, then you will achieve exponential effect. You see, what you can buy with $10 is just $10. But if you can put your resources together, $100, 10 of you can do a lot more. All right? $10 just reminded me of something, and I need to remember to remind you that, remember when I was preaching on the sermon on generosity, yeah, I give each of you $10, and we counted, we gave away maybe about $10, so that would be about $700. What have you been using the $10 for? Okay, now five people have given me their cardboard to tell me exactly what they have done. So I've gotten back $50 worth of work that you have done with the $10. I still need the 65 people to give me your chain, to give me your that cardboard telling me what exactly you have done with the $10. I think it's good, because when you are able to share that, we all get ideas how we can actually use $10. You see, $10 is a small amount, but it's big enough for you to give away to someone in need. But together, when we have got $700, we can actually give to quite a big community. So I like you, all right? And this is a reminder from Pastor as well, that you submit to me the little cardboards I've given to you, or you write on papers, whatever it is, and then let me know how you have used your $10. When you avail your $10, when you avail your time, when you avail your effort, the work of God gets built. So I'd like you, after the service, go to the box there. On top, I've already stapled five pieces of cardboard together to make a chain. We call it the generosity chain. Go read it. And if you haven't given your $10 away, maybe you get some ideas there. And then learn to avail your resources. Hannah in the Old Testament availed her son. And because of her availing her son to the temple to serve Eli and to be a priest and a prophet, Samuel was the one who became a major prophet. He was the one who also anointed the two kings. He was the one who anointed King Saul as well as King David to the throne. The people in the book of Acts, they availed their resources. In fact, Book of Acts told us that they availed the sale of their house. Yeah, that was during that time, the early church, where they sold their houses, sold their possessions, and they availed it to the apostles so that they can use the money and feed everybody in the household of faith, in the church itself, so that no one has lack. Everyone has got equal amount of money to live by, and no one is poor or deprived. And so they availed their money for that purpose. Barnabas is a good man. He was called the son of encouragement. What he did was he availed himself as a middle person, because at that time Saul didn't have a very good reputation, was poor reputation, because he was persecuting the churches, he was killing the Christians, and so he had a bad reputation among the apostles. So when he finally got saved and wanted to join the apostles, of course the apostles wouldn't trust him, because why would they trust someone who has done havoc to the church? So Barnabas availed himself as the middle person, came along and said, look, Saul, I can see the call of God on you, and I know you won't have the reputation to go into the world of the apostles or into the world of the Christians. Let me do something for you. I will accompany you. I will stand next to you. I will be with you, because he has got a good reputation. And so he stood with Saul, and as Saul made his entrance into the Christian world, Saul was able to do mighty, mighty things. In fact, he wrote a lot of the books in the New Testament, all because somebody believed in him. Somebody complimented him. Somebody availed himself to him just for that time, so that he can get a better reputation. Some of us may have to align ourselves to people who are not treated very well in society. Some of us may have to presence ourselves with people who are not very successful. If you are very successful, don't just presence yourself with successful people. Sometimes God wants to use you, your success, to position yourself to people who are less fortunate, less successful, so that they can be successful in due time. But God got to use somebody. So we need to avail ourselves to the Lord. Amen? Amen. R. What does R stands for? Give me a few guesses. Okay. Rally. Rally. R-A-L-L-Y. No, I don't ask you to go to Forest Chase and have a rally. No. I'm saying you rally. You rally. You call out. I see what Jack did this morning. And these are not in my notes. But I saw Jack rallying. Do you see him rallying? He's like, you know, you're all worshiping the Lord. He says, praise the Lord. Come on, let us all praise the Lord. That's a rallying. That's a calling forth, you know. If you're not praising the Lord, he is rallying. He's calling you out to praise the Lord. And then just now before the service started, he was here and he was listening to the piano. And then he liked a particular note in the piano. He called it the blue C note. I don't know what that means, but a blue rhythm, blue. So he loves it. He loves it. You know, as a musician, there are certain notes that will really make you feel so like in heaven. You know what I'm saying? So that was a note. And then he rallied. He says, "Woo, that note is so good. Play more of that note." That's a rallying. It's a calling forth, a calling out. So when we want to do the work of God, sometimes we may need to rally. And this is a very good action. Come on. Okay. All right. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 17 to 19. And it says there, then David ordered all the leaders of Israel to help his son Solomon. He said to them, is not the Lord your God with you? Has he not granted you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hands, and the land is subject to the Lord and to his people. Now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. You see, he's rallying. Devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord God, so that you may bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the sacred articles belonging to God into the temple that will be built for the name of the Lord. What better people than to rally the leaders? So if you are leaders, just raise your hands. Oh, no leaders. No, it's not a trick question, okay? Okay. God wants to rally you. God also wants to use Pastor Stewart to rally you. To rally you to see what is our vision. What is our vision? The vision is to be an influence to Perth and to beyond. The pastors want to rally you into believing in the vision and then to say that, leaders, you can do it. You are an influence. And then I like you to go and influence your members, influence your powerhouse people, influence the children, so that all of us can be rallied into the same vision. Now, some of us are given roles in the church where you can rally. In fact, I think leaders have a lot of voice. For a long time, I'm a reluctant leader. I don't like to be a leader. For a long time, I didn't know how to rally. I thought, oh yeah, people know what to do. Just leave them, you know. A lot of us are in leadership positions, but we don't know the amount of power leaders have. We need to use our voice. This is a new season. I know we are now in April, but this is still 2018. We need to use our voices. We need to use our weight. We need to use our substance to rally. Because leaders are meant to rally. Leaders are meant to have people following you. If John Maxwell says, if you are a leader and you go forward and no one is following you, you are only taking a walk. Leaders need to have people following after us, but sometimes people won't follow us. So we need to rally them. We need to call them. We need to summon them. We need to focus them. And so we need to rally them. Okay? Give words of encouragement, rally them. That's what King David did. That's what King David do. He rallied the leaders. He says, come on, seek the Lord. Come on. You have rest from all sides. You are now able to build and to construct. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it. God wants to be present in ancient Jerusalem to be worshipped by his people. Come on, let's do it. He rallied. You see, when you rally, you get life. When you rally, you get energy. If it's 20 years to build, if you rally, you just take 20 years. If you don't rally, you take 40 years. Longer. Rally. When you rally, life comes. A few weeks ago, I saw how Henry rallied leaders. Oh, it's amazing. I was only asked to go there and eat the lunch. That's the best part. Yeah, I love it. And I went to eat the dim sum. But what happens was he had some visitors from China, and they were investors. They were interested to invest in Refresh. At the same time, they were also interested to see what Australia can do with them. But one of the things they wanted was, would you be able to get some leadership people in Perth coming to see them? And so Henry thought for a while. He's got some people that he would like to bring to the dim sum table so that the China investors can talk with the leaders or in the local community so that they both can meet, and then we'll see what happens in the at the lunch. You see, God can give you opportunities in your work as well. Some of you are leaders of leaders in your work. I think it is so good for you to pull leaders together, because when leaders come together, they can have an enthusiasm that they can bring to a lot of people that they are leading. Bring the leaders together. And so what he did was, because he knew from his political involvement in Family First years ago, there was this man that he knew, and he is now the federal MP of Moore, and that is Mr. Ian Goodenough. So he thought, yeah, it'd be a good, interesting thing to invite Mr. Yuan to come along to Tim Sum with our China investors. Some of them are bosses, some of them are growers of cinnamon, and so to put them together. And then he thought, maybe I can also get another person, and that is our Honorable Albert Jacob. And right now he is the mayor of Joondalup. And so they came along, and together with the China investors, they begin to think of better products that they can offer to Australia. They also begin to think what they can offer to China as well. As a result of that meeting, hey, we can enjoy better products in Perth, and they can enjoy better products of Australia. So they were talking about water, they were talking about cinnamon, they were talking about lobster, they were talking about truffles. Wow, I was enjoying it so much. Why? There's a rallying. There's energy. So can you imagine when we build the house of God, whatever God has put into your heart to build, whether it's for the spiritual aspect or for work aspect, God has given you the power to rally. Do rally. Because enthusiasm will cause work to be done, not just well, enjoyably as well. Enjoyably as well. Ayo, this photo. Let me tell you why I say enthusiasm energizes. Enthusiasm makes the step springier and make the job a lot better. So when you have enthusiasm, like today, if all of us follow what Jack says, you know, praise the Lord, and all of us are enthusiastic, it will be a service that will energize you. Enthusiasm will really energize you. Henry and myself, we had this group of friends come to us Easter weekend. Nine of them decided to come. Five of them were my Bible study students from way back when I was a teenager. They were teenagers as well, about 4 or 5 years difference. And this time they said they want to come and visit me. That was great. And then the husbands all were reluctant, and they all wanted to come along. So all right, all the spouses came along. So 9 of them came to Perth, and we hosted 5 in a house. We put 4 of them in a hotel. They are very enthusiastic people, very fun-loving. Of course, they are younger, very, very good with photography. And it seems that they want us to be all participating in the photos. Henry and myself, we are non-posers. We're not really good at, you know, if we can, don't take photos of our people. But they are really, you know, enthusiastic. And guess what? Enthusiasm really makes you really want to do things. You see the slide before. You get it. That's right. So you can see me? The one with the hat. The green one. The poser. Henry is a photographer. So he got us, we all went to Pinnacles, and they say, we want to do something for Refresh. Free advertising, they said. All of us will pose with the Refresh bottle, and we will be in the Pinnacles desert, dry as dry can be, but hey, Refresh. So I said, oh, that's a great idea. And then the next pose. Whoa, we all pose. Can you see what we... So good. So good. See? It called out of us. You think I would do this if I'm with Henry alone? Of course not. You think you would do this? Take photograph of me like, oh, of course not. But when 9 of us are together, 11 of us are together, 200 of us together, 100 of us together, enthusiasm can be bred. And when there's enthusiasm, you do silly things. Wonderful things. Playful things, great things. Amen. That's how King David rallied the leaders of the nation and got a 20-story temple of Solomon built in 20 years with the cost of 20 towns. It's amazing. It's amazing. What's to be done in the church? What's to be done in your work? What's to be done in the community? God wants to put ideas in you so that you can rally the help that you can get and go get done. Go get done what God has put into your heart. The last one is E, which is to empower. To empower. And 2 Chronicles 22, verses 6 to 13 says this. He says, then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. David said to Solomon, my son, I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, But this word of the Lord came to me. You have shed much blood and have fought many wars. You are not to build a house for my name because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. But you will have a son who will be a man of peace and rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side. His name will be Solomon, and I will grant Israel peace and quiet during his reign. He is the one who will build a house for my name. He will be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with you, and may you have success and build the house of the Lord your God, as he said he would. May the Lord give you discretion and understanding when he puts you in command over Israel, so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will have success if you are careful to observe the decrees and laws that the Lord gave Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. David empowered his son. He knew that he will not be the one who's going to build, but his son will be the one who built. And so he empowered him. He charged over him. He spoke to him as a father to a son. A lot of us here can be fathers. And if you do have children, you must speak over your children. Charge over them. Don't tell them how bad they are. Tell them how good they are. Charge over them. Empower them. For some of us here in the church who are older in age, I think this is your best time to invest into the next generation. In the camp, we say we want to influence the next generation. And the best way to influence the next generation really is to empower them. Speak good things over them. Call out, rally out the gifts, the abilities in them. Empower them. Empower them so that you can tell them how awesome they are in the church, or how awesome the opportunity God has given them in the church. And empower them. And not just that, is to pray for them. To pray for them. Whether it's to pray for them on the spot or to pray for them at home, is to pray for them so that they feel empowered and they feel charged over, and then they can do what the Lord wants them to do. Your words are very powerful. I've done so much counseling, I realize that words are so powerful. I'm going to blog about words in maybe a couple of weeks' time. So do look out for the blog. Ooh, I'm also learning how to rally. Okay, so do look up the blog. And words are really, really powerful. When we find ourselves having the opportunity to empower somebody in the church or at work, or a Christian that you have met in any Christian meetings, it is to empower. Because when you empower and when you pray for them, you see their energy level go up. You see their strength rise. You see them coming out from whatever the position is, whether they're discouraged or dismal, to be one that is of strength. Call out. Call out. Rally. Use your words. Empower. Charge. It was the last day when we were in a car, and I drove the four ladies to the airport because one had already left. And I drove the four ladies, and in the car, you know, it's an awesome time, huh, when you have got to leave each other after 12 days of great posing and fun. And so we were talking in soft tones, and we were talking and talking, and I just felt a sudden rise of a surge of a charge within me. And I said, you know, guys, you know, we have had good time, and all of us are wives. I really like you to be good wives, huh? And to serve your husband and know their needs, huh? And to really encourage your husbands. And I said, what? We can form a good wives club. Charge, a charge. And I said, let us all finish strong. That's a charge. So learn to charge over people. And not take charge. Huh? Charge over people, as in charge their lives. Empower them. It's like, you know, when people come to you and after they leave, you are like a phone charger, you know. The phone just come to you, or the robot, you know, we've got one robot that does all the cleaning of the house, and then when it's powerless, you know, it comes back to the charger and then it gets charged again for tomorrow's job. Some people need to come to us. Some people will come to us, and we need to be the charger, so that they can get empowered, and pray for them so that they also get empowered. And then together we're able to do what God calls us to do. So King David has a good care plan to help us be active. One is to complement each other. Two is to avail your resources so that the work of God gets done, so that your workplace is a better place to be working in. The next one is to rally, call forth, get it out of people. And the next one is to empower them by charging over them and by praying for them. Let us pray.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.